So today's Father's Day, and as fathers, we like to get gifts from our children. I'll say that speaking for myself, and when our children were little and they would make me cards or presents, I still have some of them, some little crayon colored Father's Day cards. I think I've got a little handkerchief that someone helped my son make that has "I love you, Daddy" written on it. Those are nice things, and we as fathers like to have those things as an expression from our children. Sometimes as fathers, we need to think about giving things to our children. And if you asked our children what they would like, they would probably say some of these things, depending on their age. You know, some kind of electronic gadget, or a lot of money, or a nice red convertible car. Those are some things that some children would like. But I would like for us to consider some things that, as fathers, we need to give our children. And it's not going to be the things on that slide, but it's going to be the things on this slide. From our scripture reading this morning, I think we can understand the principle when a son asked a father for bread. The father's not going to give him a stone or a fish. He's going to give him a serpent. Even an earthly father is going to try to give our children things that they need. And I would like for us to consider some things that the Bible teaches us that as fathers that we need to give our children. One of the first things I want us to consider is the gift of time. Fathers, do you think that you have not been given enough time? You know, stop and think about this. Every second we have, every minute, every hour, every day, every week, every month, every year that we have has been given to us from God. But do we ever catch ourselves saying, "I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time to do this or that"? Friends, we have all the time that there is, all the time that God has given us, and we need to be mindful of the time and redeem the time. I was made aware of time this week. I joined a group from my graduating class at high school, and it was interesting seeing what people are doing now. There is also a list of our classmates that have died. And from the class that I graduated from, there are 72 people that have died. 72 people that didn't make it to my age. We have no guarantee of how much time we will have. Time is something we should give to children. Children take time. We need to take time to teach them to live a godly life. And something we've all heard, and when you reach a certain age and you have children, you understand the saying, you're going to spend time with your children. If you don't spend time with your children when they are young, teaching them right, you're going to spend time with your children later in life when you have to deal with the things that they have gotten into. We all know, I think everybody here probably has heard the popular song, "Cats in the Cradle," and I've read this before, but it's worth reading again. It's a very, very old tune. It was made popular years ago by Harry Chapin when he added these words to the song. "My child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way. But there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. And he was talking for, I knew it, and as he grew, he'd say, 'I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know, I'm going to be like you.' And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man in the moon. 'When you coming home, Dad?' 'I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know, we'll have a good time then. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, 'Thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today. I got a lot of work to do. He said, that's okay. And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed. Said, I'm going to be like him, yeah. You know I'm going to be like him. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man in the moon. When you coming home, Dad? I don't know when. But we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. Well, he came from college just the other day. So much like a man, I just had to say. Son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while? He shook his head and said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later. Can I have them, please? And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man in the moon. When you coming home, Dad? I don't know when. But we'll get together then. You know, we'll have a good time then. I've long since retired and my son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said I'd love to, Dad, if I could find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids got the flu. But it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man in the moon. When you coming home, Dad? I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know, we'll have a good time then. Friends, fathers, we don't know how much time we've got. And we need to be spending time with our children, no matter what our age, no matter if they're in our home or if they're grown, we need to spend time with our children. And as fathers, we need to look into our hearts and ask ourselves, are we spending time with our children? Another gift that we need to give to our children is the gift of a good example. Example is a powerful force, and as fathers, we should take thought of what type of example we are setting for our families. We all set an example. It's either going to be a good example or a poor example. You think about the example of our language. Do we speak words that honor God, or do we speak words that dishonor God? And for those of you with young children, I'll give you a little hint. The words you say, your children will repeat. And it's things that may not be words that you hear or that you speak, but the words that they hear somewhere, they will repeat. What example are we setting? The example of the use of our time. The time that we spend serving God, helping others, reading our Bible. All of those are an example that our children are going to see. How we use our money, that's an example. Are we stingy? Do we don't spend it at all? Do we overspend? Do we spend too much? Or do we be wise stewards and watch and plan how we spend our money? Do our children see us giving to help the needy? That's an example that we set. Do they see that? And, you know, sometimes we need to consider, too, just like with time, all the time we have, God has given us. It's not our time. It's God's time that He is loaning us. All of the money that we have, all of the resources that we have, is not our money. It's God's money. We are just stewards. And He is going to judge us for how we use His money. So we need to look out to our children and ask ourselves, what type of example are we setting? Is it an example of good behavior that's going to be pleasing to God? Or is it going to be displeasing to God? Another gift that we need to give our children is teaching God's Word. Teaching God's Word is so important. And I want to tell you a true story as it's about when I was growing up. But my parents taught me that mealtime at our house was very important. It was very important. When it was mealtime, I was to get ready for mealtime. I was to wash my hands, wouldn't come in dirty if I had been playing outside. I was to get ready for mealtime. And I was never to be late for mealtime. Never. That would be disrespectful to my father, disrespectful to my family. Now, my father wasn't this strict, but I knew of other children, if they weren't at the table at mealtime, they had to wait till the next meal. They were setting an example. And you think today, families don't even eat together. But this lesson of the meal. And when I was real little, I can remember asking my mother over and over, is it ready yet? Is it ready yet? I wanted to be ready and looked forward to mealtime. And we lived in the country, and there weren't a lot of children my age around, very few. And if I had a friend over playing with me, I would ask if he could have supper with us, if he could stay and eat. Because you see, that mealtime was a social time. It was important. And believe it or not, mealtime was so important that we didn't just eat one meal a day. We ate multiple meals a day. Why do I tell that story? Now, as a father, what emphasis do I place on Bible study and worship, on God's Word? What emphasis do I place on that with my children? Do I teach my children how important it is? Do I teach my children to get ready for Bible study? Do I teach my children to get ready for worship? Do I teach them to prepare? You know, that's something I don't know. I understand the phraseology we use, Bible study. We come together for Bible study. But really, Bible study should be what we are doing at home. We study our Bible, we prepare, we come to class, we make comments, we contribute, and then we help enlarge our study, our knowledge of the Bible. I think some people have just been brought up with the idea or the concept, that's when you do Bible study, is for this hour. That's not what Bible study is all about. We teach our children to come to the services, to come early, to come prepared. We need to teach them the importance of things that take place in God's Word and in our life. And you go back to the meal example. And when, as I said, when I would have a friend over and invite them to stay, that was a social time. It was a social time. Now, you stop and think about in 1 Corinthians 11, when Paul was writing to the Corinthians, and he talks about when they come together in one place, when they come together in one place as the church, and he was talking about the Lord's Supper. Have you ever stopped and considered why it's called the Lord's Supper? Do you think about a little piece of unleavened bread and a little cup of grape juice? Do you consider that a meal, a supper? We wouldn't consider that a meal by our standards, but you see, in the original language, that word supper carried with it the idea of a social time, a social meal, coming together as the family of God to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior. We need to teach. We need to teach God's Word. We can teach it by example, but we need to teach from the Word of God also. We need to teach them about the love of God, the message and example of Christ. We need to teach them about the Holy Spirit. We need to teach them about the hope of heaven. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Again, I think we all know this. Fathers, bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's a command for the fathers. Some of the fathers have left that to the mothers. And that's not what the Lord intended. He didn't say mothers do this. He said fathers. The father is to take the place as the head of the home and the guide in training in spiritual things as well as the physical things. And as a father, if we do not take the role that God has given us, he will hold us accountable for not honoring his word. So we have to ask ourselves as fathers, do we hear what Paul is telling us? I mean, he makes it pretty clear. And we might say, well, I haven't been doing that. I've messed up. It's too late. No. If we, any of these things, if we find out that we are not in accord with God's will, we just need to make correction and go on. Because our children, we don't know how many years we are going to be around them, and we want to do everything we can to help raise them and to help them make it home to heaven. And it might be a situation where we have to say, I'm sorry, son, I messed up there. I apologize. I didn't set a good example. I didn't do this. But this is what we need to do going forward. And when we do that, we've made it right with our family. We've made it right with God, with ourselves. And that's what God wants us to do. These gifts are things that are, these gifts, you go back to the other slide. You know, those little gadgets cost a crazy amount of money. Electronic devices, there's bundles of $10,000 cash, $30,000 cash, a nice little red convertible Thunderbird. All of those things are expensive, and as the commercial says, these things are priceless. You can't put a price tag on these gifts, the gifts of time, the gift of a good example, the gift of God's word. Another gift that we need to give our children is a house that is ruled well. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. There are different things involved in ruling a house well. This is one of them, is providing for our own. It may be money, maybe food, maybe clothes. We've all seen fathers that have everything that they need while their children are in want of something. Maybe the physical things. But we need to provide for our own. If we turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 4 and 5, and Paul is writing of the qualifications of an overseer, an elder, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Again, this ruling the house concept. Society, you know, there are attacks from many different directions today to destroy the family. There are forces that do not want to see a husband and a wife and children living together. They want any combination that you can think of. But the Bible gives us the pattern for a house, and a house that is ruled well. The father is to provide for his own. And again, he is to rule his house, having his children in submission with all reverence. And this means that they have respect for the father. They submit to the father. They don't run away from him in fear. And When you think about this verse back to Ephesians 6:4, the nurture and admonition of the Lord, there's a balance. There's a balance. And we have seen fathers that are like dictators. And what usually happens when a child is raised in a house like that? As soon as they can, they're out the door. They want to rebel. Again, thinking back of high school, I know some people. There was a friend I had in class, and she worked for me years ago. And I know when she got out, she married the person she married to rebel against her father because he would not want anything to do with that person. Not that he was doing anything wrong, but just she was rebellious. We need to have love, nurture, and admonition and nurture, love and control. You think about those dictator fathers. Now you think about a father like Abraham, and he had a balance. He had a balance. And when he went to offer his son, going to slay his son, offer him on an altar, did his son rebel? Did he try to run away? No. Why? Because he was raised to respect his father, raised to respect God. And that would be a case, having children in submission with all reverence. The way we raise our children is going to be reflected back in how they turn out. So again, the question might come up, do you know how to rule your own house? Maybe we don't. Maybe we honestly don't know. Nobody's told us. But friends, we've got God's word, and God's word tells us how to rule our house. I tell you, one place not to go to advice is out in the world, because they'll give you bad advice. Correct thy son, and he will give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Proverbs 29:17. We don't want to frustrate a child with over-discipline. But I saw something, I think this last week, and it said, remember all of those children that used to lay down in the aisle in the grocery store and kick and scream? Well, here's what they're doing now. And they were all laying down on the road, blocking the road. You know, what was missing? Discipline. And so many of those children, and we've seen a generation that's been raised up that hasn't been told no, that hasn't been spanked. And we're seeing the effects of that. You know, Christ taught his disciples to think of God as their father and his disciples as their children. And you have that relationship, that father-son relationship. And God loves us, but he also disciplines us. And we need to learn how to discipline our children with love and how that is going to pay us back in return. You know, we live in a very materialistic society, and you hear the phrase every so often, return on investment. Well, what's my return on investment going to be? We think about that with savings, stocks, bonds, stock market, 401k. Do we think about that with our children? What's the return on my investment going to be? Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye mete out, withal it shall be measured unto you again. We have these principles of sowing and reaping, of giving, of doing what we want to have done. And when we learn how to do that with our children, and it's being a father is a learning process all the way till we die, but when we learn to do that God's way, are we going to have to worry in old life when we get old? No, because our children are going to be there for us. they're going to be there for us. And back to Cats in the Cradle, and we've all heard the story many times when a man is near the final days of his life. He may be lying in a hospital bed and his children aren't around. Is he thinking, boy, I wish I could have spent more hours in the office every day? Is he thinking that? No, he's not thinking that. He's thinking, boy, I wish I could have spent more time with my family. Well, the last gift I'd like for us to consider is discipline. Again, Ephesians 6:4. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I talked about God disciplining us in Hebrews 12, beginning at verse 5. And you've forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Do we have examples of Bible fathers who didn't chasten their sons? We do. We do. If we turn back to 1 Samuel, we have the account of Eli. In 1 Samuel 2, beginning at verse 12. Now, the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. Now, stop and think about this. Who was Eli? He was a priest. He was a religious man. And the priest's custom with the people was when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come with a three-pronged flesh hook in his hand while the meat was boiling. Then he would thrust into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, and the priest would take for himself all that the flesh hook brought up. So they did in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Also, before they burned the fat, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who sacrificed, "Give meat for roasting to the priest, for he is not boiled, will not take boiled meat from you, but raw." And if the man said to him, "They should really burn the fat first, then you may take as much as your heart desires," he would answer them, "No, but you must give it to me now, and if not, I will take it by force." Therefore, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for the men abhorred the offering of the Lord. So the priests were entitled to eat of the meat of the sacrifice, but his sons were greedy. They wanted to take the choicest part. They should really burn the fat first, then you may take as much as your heart desires. He would then answer them, "No, you must give it now, and if not, I will take it by force." Why were his sons this way? Eli didn't discipline them. He refused to restrain them. We go on in chapter 2, down to verse 22. Now Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door. So not only were they taking of the sacrifices for their own greedy desires in the wrong way, they were also committing fornication with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. We drop on down in chapter 2 to verse 29. "Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded you in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me, to make yourselves fat with the best of all offerings of Israel, my people?" Stop and think about this phrase. Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me? Friends, when we do not raise our children as God has instructed us, we are honoring our children more than God. and we are to honor God. 1 Samuel 3:13, "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them." Does this make sense? Yes, we can all understand this. If we don't discipline our children, we're going to have problems with them. Well, friends, with this being Father's Day today, maybe we got something, maybe we didn't, but if we have children, all of us as fathers need to learn the lesson. We need to give our children something. And not these things again, not the things that are up here, but these things. These are the valuable gifts we need to give to our children. The gift of time, the gift of a good example, the gift of teaching God's word, the gift of a house that is ruled well, the gift of discipline. And as children, what can we do? Maybe our fathers are gone, but if we still have a father, we should honor him, and we should honor our Heavenly Father. 3 John 4, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth." That is how we can honor our Father, whether he is with us today or whether he is gone. We honor our earthly Father. We honor our Heavenly Father. "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth." So we've been talking about earthly fathers this morning, but we can't forget our Heavenly Father. He has given us every good and perfect gift. What has our response been to our Heavenly Father? Have we accepted that? Have we accepted the gift of salvation? Have we accepted His word? Have we accepted those things that He has told us to do, that we can be forgiven of our sins? Have we accepted those things that He has told us to do, how we can have a right relationship, live with Him, and live with Him when this life is over? Friends, if there's anybody here this morning that wants to be added into the family, to have God as your Heavenly Father, to be born again, don't put it off. We invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.